And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
Hey, what's up? It's India.
India, what's up, girl?
What's going on? I got to see you running this weekend.
Yeah, I was out there, you know, checking out the course. That's all I was doing, you know, mm-hmm. doing That's some sightseeing.
You was rolling to me. You was focused.
Yeah, I was.
Country 5K in Murrieta. You weren't far from my neck of the woods.
Yeah, I was surprised to see you. I didn't know you were volunteering. So, for all those who do not know, well, you listen to the podcast, so y'all know that Global Running Day just passed. And if you listen to the podcast, you know we were out at the biggest Global Running Day event in the ATL. You know, powered by Lululemon, put on by Run Social, Movers and Pacers. Am I missing somebody?
Movers and Pacers. It was, listen, I'll just say that all the different running groups were out there representing. Yeah. So, if you're running group or non-running group, there are people out there that don't associate themselves with a particular running group, but it was a good turnout. Very, very good turnout.
Yeah, it was a nice turnout. We got to do our little live podcast out there, saw people I hadn't seen in a long time out there running. So guess what, people? Running is alive and healthy in the ATL. The stories of a drop-off of running is not true at all, because people are still getting out there and enjoying themselves on the pavement.
Yes, for sure. It was definitely deep. It was good times, good vibes, being able to record the podcast. Definitely go listen to that. If you're listening to this one and haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to the last episode. Definitely check out that last episode that we recorded there. Just catching up with people that were at Global Running Day. It's a really good little catch-up session, and y'all could kind of hear some of the vibes that were going on at Global Running Day.
Yeah, so next year when they have it again, don't miss it. It's definitely, I won't miss it. It's definitely a good time.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. For sure.
Next year. And they, you know, I didn't get to run because my day leave pass ran out, so I had to get home. my ankle alert started going off, so I had to go home, so I didn't actually get to run. But next year I'm gonna make sure I plan, because hopefully next year I can convince Heather to come out there so I can stay longer and we can actually get the whole family out there doing the
running. The whole family can come on. Y'all can just make it a whole evening. Let the kids have some pizza or whatever while you're out there and
Exactly. So definitely going to do that next year. Saw a couple of people, you know, of course, Tess had her daughter out there. But I saw a couple people out there with the second generation of runners, which, you know, I'm all for having a couple of little runners in my family. So I'm definitely going to make sure Trey is ready to stretch his legs on the pavement next year.
Yeah, and he's going to be so ready, and you're going to be chasing right behind him, because I know he's going to be ready to go. I think at that point, he's not going to want to be in no stroller. He's definitely
No. Trey's out the stroller. He's out the stroller. He's done with that. And, you know, I was just, you know, speaking of the stroller role, a couple of our friends, one of the guys I used to run with BMR, you know, Damon Davis, they put on the stroller role. Do you recall, where is that going to be? Hold on. I know it's going to be out in Austell, but
Riverside Park, I believe it is.
Okay. Riverside Park. Yes, definitely something definitely to look forward to for families. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you don't have someone to push in a stroller, it's a good race or a good time. But definitely if you have young ones that, you know, want to come out and run, because this next year, I think we're going to put Jasmine in the stroller. And then Trey run alongside, and me and Heather will go back and forth pushing it. But definitely wanted to talk about that, because Damon's a good friend of mine, and I want his event to be definitely a success.
Right. Yeah. So if you're in the Atlanta area, I know sometimes we just talk about stuff and just pop it in, but that is a race that is stroller, meaning pushing a stroller. You don't have to have a stroller, but we want to let you know that it is stroller friendly. So for the parents, aunties, grandmas, everybody that want to bring their kitty out there with a stroller, or if you don't have a stroller and you don't have the kid to push, it's still a race that you can participate in. So definitely look up Run Sign Up to look for the stroller roll that is happening on July 8th at 8 a.m.
Yeah, Riverside Epicenter in 13135 Riverside Parkway in Austell, Georgia. Sure. But anyway, now the Global Running Day event wasn't the end of the weekend. This was if you were into running in Atlanta and you wanted to run every single day, you pretty much had an opportunity to do so with the many events that were going on this weekend. As we were talking about earlier, the Atlanta Track Club, Braves 5K or 5K, but I'm not sure what they actually call it. But
Braves Country 5K.
Braves Country 5K was put on. I initially only signed up for this because it had a kids dash. Yeah, and I wanted to have, you know, trail. Because that's what I was trying to do. Like, okay, I'll go ahead and run and then, you know, trail, run the kids dash. But right. Heather woke up and decided she didn't want to go. Okay. So, and this isn't one that I could push him in a stroller and then let him run. So I went ahead and just went ahead and did it. But I'm glad I did. This is the first race I've probably run in a while where I actually have been consistently training for more than 2 weeks in a row. So it was good. You know, it was a nice little trot. I think I talked about this at Global Running Day. I'm not ready to race yet, but I'm definitely getting back to where I can run, you know, full races, like 5K without stopping, you know, that kind of thing. It was a pretty hilly course, though. They had one long hill in there.
Don't do that race, because I know what it is out there.
Yes. It was nice to finish on the field, even though they, you know, they won't let you touch the field. Because they were
very serious. Strict. Get off this grass. They do not like, let you touch that grass.
They
have security on lock around the grass.
I mean, if your pinky toe got on that grass, they're like, hey.
If you was breathing too close, it was hey. Yeah.
So what we're talking about is you ran into actually Truist Park, which is, if you're not from Atlanta, that's where the Atlanta Braves are. Professional baseball team plays. They are the World Series winners a couple of years ago and probably win again this year. But anyway, that's beside the point. We ran into their stadium, but they only let you on like what you would call like the warning track. If you play baseball, it's the gravelly clay part. They won't let you actually stand on the grass. But it was still nice to run in there. I've never been on the field at Truist Park, so it was kind of cool. You kind of come out from there and they had a little plaza where you pick up your shirt and everything, but it was good. Honestly, when I originally got there, I was thinking when I talked about the race, I would say, I didn't see anybody I knew, but by the end of the race, I saw, you know, plenty of people. I mean, including India, when I saw you, I was like, oh damn. Okay. Somebody I know. Cause I was in C. I put in my pace was gonna be like 12 minutes a mile or something like that, and I was running, you know, faster than that. But I just did that because I just wanted to be in the back, so I could just kind of trot, you know, do what I wanted to do. So that's probably why I missed a lot of people, because probably most of the people I know were in A. But once I finished, I ran into some, you know, BMR people. I ran into, you know, Troy Johnson, Troy has a residence in Alabama, but he lives in Atlanta is what I'm going to say. If Troy's listening, the funny thing was when I saw Troy, me and him were talking, some guy comes up to him and says, hey man, what's your name? And you know, he's like, hey, Troy Johnson. He's, man, I see you all the time. Good to see you again. I was like, see Troy, do you ever go home? I mean, everybody thinks you live here. But so I got to see him. Damon Davis was out there with his wife and his little girl. I don't know if he ran. They may have been out there just advertising for the stroller roll. And Festus, I don't know if you know him. He's a BMR guy.
Yep, I saw him out there. Yeah,
he was out there as well. So there was a few people I got to see. It was nice. Yeah.
So you saw me. Was that like mile? Not even at mile one yet?
It might not even been, you know, 1 mile that I saw you. And then I saw you coming back on the last mile when you up there chatting with your friends. I'm like, look.
My volunteer session was over. Y'all passed me at the first one. That is where my duties were needed. And then I just happened to stop at the top of the hill and y'all was cutting around and y'all saw me again. I was a course monitor. This is my first time doing course monitoring. Usually I do like water stops and stuff like that. But this is my first time doing course monitoring, child. I didn't know like how it works out, but they give you a map and they're like, okay, go to this spot. And I'm like, all right. Like, I walked a whole mile trying to find my spot, but I finally found it. They give you your vest, they give you a letter, and they like, here, find this spot on a map and go to it. And I guess I am very directionally challenged because I went all the way around.
Oh my.
It ended up being, listen, I turned my watch on. It ended up being like a mile or so before I got to where I was supposed to go. And then at the end, but when I was done with my time, after the race had passed me, they were picking up cones. I walked up the street and it was literally like right there. So I just missed a turn and just like went the wrong way, but it's okay. Gotcha. I actually enjoyed it. You know, I got to my post and was trying to figure out, you know, where I'm supposed to be, what I could do. And then I saw that y'all were running past these like little, I don't know what they call those, but like a big old curve. And if you're not looking, you're going to trip on it because you're not going to see it. So I just like, well, let me just stand up on this thing and like tell people to watch out because I don't want nobody falling. That's what I did, and y'all ran past me. A lot of people were surprised to see me. I be getting my volunteer time in. If I'm not running, most of the time I'm volunteering. If anybody knows me, they know that either I'm running or I'm volunteering. So, okay. And the stadium is not far from my house. So I was like, I can do this race, volunteer this race. Mm.
Well, you know what? That's great. It was I thought it was a good race. Mm-hmm. It was a hilly course, but I mean, I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know why I'm even saying it's a hilly course. Of course it was a hilly course. But
I think because we don't expect to run in that area. And so for some people, it's hilly. It's a sneaky hilly because some people don't drive those areas. And there's not many races that are in that area. So you don't know that their hills are out there like that. So I think that's why people are a little bit surprised.
Yeah, but good times. That was on Saturday. Now, on Sunday, I did not participate in this, but a lot of people did. Hotlanta Half, Hotlanta 5K. And you know what? Did they always have a 5K?
Well, they've had the 5K. I want to say at least over the last 3 to 4 years, they've had the 5K.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, the year I ran it. Yeah.
It's newer. But I know that at least over, I'm trying to look over here at my bibs. At least the last 3 to 4 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't remember a 5K.
I definitely have a 5K medal from 2019. So it definitely happened in 2019. I'm not sure anything earlier than that, but definitely 2019. I see a medal right now of it.
Okay. I didn't know that. I was surprised to see that. That's, you know, for Atlanta, they needed a 5K because that half is no joke. Right. But I, you know, a lot of people lit up my timeline with their half and 5K Hotlanta. I know Troy said that he was going to do, you know, Troy hit everything, hit the Global Running Day, hit the Braves, and then he hit Hotlanta. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like it was a good turnout for that as well. And let me tell you something, run a half marathon in June. I ain't gonna lie to you. You are brave. In Atlanta, you are a brave person.
It was definitely not as hot as it usually is. And some people got hit with the rain, which I wouldn't mind on that course, some rain, because it would have cooled some things off a little bit. Of course, maybe it would have increased the humidity. But some people did get caught in the rain, which probably at that point that the rain started, it was probably refreshing to them. So
I'm sure
anybody complaining about the rain, but typically that race is blazing and they have ice and ice packs and stuff out there because it is warm. It is warm.
Actually, I ran it the first year. I ran it the same year I ran the Chicago Marathon. And I've said this before. That's the only race that I actually would have just stopped running. Like I said, forget it. If I wasn't already, I was already over by where the stadium used to be. Mm-hmm. If it had been during the time period of Uber, Tommy would have called it a quits. But I was like, well, I might as well keep running because ain't nobody going to come pick me up. So I just kept running.
Save room in the tank for the last 5K because it definitely is in the Georgia Tech area. It is definitely more of a elevated terrain over there. So
yeah, but that was one that I was glad I did, but I'm not sure it's going to take something special for me to run that one again because of the weather.
Definitely.
And then on Monday night we've got the Monday night 10. What is Tessa's race? A 5K or is it a 10?
It's a
10K. Is it 10K? Oh, it's a 10K. Monday night 10K, put on by Run Social. So if you were in Atlanta this week, you definitely had ample opportunity to get your run in.
For sure. Yes, it was indeed. Definitely out there. And of course, a lot of people have been out on the Peachtree Street training for the Peachtree Road Race, which comes up in July. We have less than a month for that. So this was a good little weekend to kind of do maybe a little test run to see where you're at with your fitness.
Exactly. It's if by the time you guys hear this, it will be 19 days until the Peachtree. So it's right there around the corner. Now, of course, Peachtree, I don't know, you know, how many people do PRs in the Peachtree just because of the type of race it is. But it's definitely a race that in Atlanta and the surrounding areas, people definitely come out for. Definitely. Runners and people who don't consider themselves to be runners like to be out for the Peachtree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
For sure. I've already had what, 3 people from out of town saying they're going to be in town for the Peachtree. So I'm excited to see some of our out of town people and listeners come on in town to say hello and enjoy the Peachtree vibes.
Exactly. Are you working the expo for the Peachtree?
No, probably not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't.
Gotcha.
It doesn't look like anything on the volunteer schedule fits into my calendar, but I will see you all at the, or see you and Heather if y'all signed up Trey for the trot on Sunday. I have a friend that is, little girl is going to be out there. And so I'm going to go, and all of her family and me are going to go out there to cheer on the baby for her first race.
Oh, goodness. That ought to be good. Trust me, watching your little kids run it. I mean, it's just amazing how much joy people get. And I used to be amazed by that, like how much joy people got from watching the kids run. Now I understand, of course, you know, it's like great to see them happy. Trust me, when you're dealing with kids, when they're happy, you know, parents are always, always smiling.
Listen, my friend, she messed up and told me, she was like, oh, I think that her daughter's name is Isla too. So I know mm-hmm. 2 Islas, but she was like, oh, I think Isla wants to be a runner. I said, say less. I have a race that I can sign you up for. I will buy her a new outfit.
What?
Nice and ready to go. Here is the link. Like, I was like, she was like, okay. She was like, it's a family affair. I was like, I will be there on July 2nd, along with everybody else that I know that's going to be out there. But I am there for this Isla because this is going to be our first debut to the running scene. And I'm really excited. And I'm like, we got excited auntie over here. I am auntie all day.
Oh my goodness. That is so great. That is so great.
Here is a race. She was like, this is a thing. And I was like, yes. I started sending her pictures. Like, it's a whole thing for the kids. She was like, it's a whole community. I said, yes. I said, do you want more? Because I have plenty of opportunities for you to bring her down to do her little 30 seconds of running.
Oh my goodness. And I'm glad they did it on a different day. I mean, I'm sure they had to. There's no way they could have done the dash on the same day as the Peachtree. But like when they did the dash for Publix, they did it on the same day. And it makes it for a very long day.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, even with, you know, the Braves Country 5K, it would have been the same thing. It would have been a long day for us to be out there, for us to run, then, you know, him to run, that kind of thing. So I'm glad that the kids get their own day. It's perfect. Come down. That way we can hit the expo. So, you know, Heather can pick up her number. I'm doing the virtual. I think what I'm going to do for my virtual Sunday morning, I think I'm going to get up early and go and actually run the course.
You're going to be up real early. The dash is at like 8.
Yeah, I know. So I have to get there really early, and I might just let Heather bring, you know, I might just, you know, go run and then just meet them over there.
Do the course because it's in Piedmont. So you will do the course and just be there by 8 o'clock, like finishing the course.
Yeah, exactly. So we might do something like that. We'll figure it out. But I think that because I would, you know, maybe I'll go on Saturday. I don't know. Because I would like to do the virtual I'd like to do the actual course for my virtual.
Yeah.
Just to keep it on the same level or whatever.
Samesies. Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So so we're all looking forward to the Peachtree, you know, here. And you know, I kind of wish I had decided to sign up for the race because I think I've been in better shape or been more consistent anyway, lately. But you know, we'll see what happens. I think my next race is gonna be the race.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm gonna try going ahead because I've never been in any kind of shape to run the half for the race. Because when it first came out, I hadn't been running in a while, so we'll see what happens. No, we got to find somebody to watch these kids, though. So, Indy, what you doing that morning? You chilling? You gonna be home? Yeah, you gonna drop them off?
I usually run the 5K, but you know, you mentioned to Tessa babysitting service, so maybe y'all can get that together.
We'll find somebody to watch them just that morning, so we can both stretch our legs.
Yeah. Who? You never know. So yes.
Mm-hmm. Now we have a hell of a guest.
Yes.
Coming up here. 300 pounds and running. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, you are. 300 pounds and running, Mr. Evans.
Mr. Evans, we got him coming up next. And I mean, I say this a lot that we had a great interview, but no, we had a great interview. I learned a lot about this gentleman that I did not know. I've been following him, you know, off and on since he started. You know, I'm not big on social media all the time, but been, you know, kind of paying attention to what he does. He has a book out right now that we're going to talk about, but let me say less and let him tell us about it, and let's bring him on right now.
All right.
And we are back, and we have a wonderful guest today. So somebody we've been needing to talk to for years, because he's been out there. You probably already know him, Martinez Evans. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, Thomas. What about yourself?
I am doing very well, very well. If y'all don't know who he is, this is the gentleman that started Slow AF. What does AF stand for? Never mind. It's a kid show.
You can say what AF is. I can't say it out loud. You can say what AF means.
The Slow AF Club. He's an author. He's got his own app. I mean, man, you are out here doing your thing. Now, just to kind of get this started, India, I'm gonna ask the first question. How did this all begin? What at the top of your dome said, I want to start a club about running? Because most people want to run faster, of course. But start a club that basically says, hey, you slow, you still a runner. What made you want to do that?
So this is very interesting, right? So I was running New York City. And both of y'all run New York City?
Yes,
y'all
know we did it last year.
Well, yeah, you can call it running, I guess.
Okay. Y'all know Queensboro Bridge.
Yes.
You know how long that bridge is.
Yes.
You know how defeating that bridge is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Imagine getting off that bridge and, you know, you in the back. So typically ain't nobody clapping for me. I get off that bridge. There's this dude pointing at me. I got my headphones in, so I take off my headphones. I'm like, what? What's going on? And he's like, you're slow as fuck. Go home.
Oh, man.
The amount of strength I had to take.
I was just about to say, I'm pretty sure everything in you was like, listen, I'm tired, but I will mollywop you upside your head right now.
The amount of restraint that it took me not to bless this man with my hands.
Yeah.
But like, you know, he kept going like, you slow, man, go home. Mm-hmm. And I remember arguing with this dude like, I'm slow? You the one that's on the sidelines drinking. Right. You go home.
Right.
You go right. home. So yeah. I finished the race and I remember like that resonated with me. Not me being like, you know what? It's a big middle finger to him. I'm going to wear Slow AF across my chest at every shirt and every race that I wear.
Right.
So I got these shirts made and people loved it. It was amazing to the point where people was like, hey, Martinez, are you selling these shirts? Mm-hmm. And at that point I wasn't. It was just for my own personal enjoyment of like giving this guy the middle finger every time I run a race. But the entrepreneur in me was like, yeah, I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I started selling these shirts, these Slow AF shirts, and 500 people bought the shirt in the first weekend that it was available.
Mm.
I had a business.
Wow.
Yeah. So from there, individuals was begging me like, hey, is there a Facebook group? Like, is there a community? Like, I want to get together with other people who also wear these shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, we're going to get it started. And started this community, early 2019, and started with 40 people. So it was 40 people in there, and we just trying to plan races and things of that sort, which race we're going to run to. Pandemic happened. So when the pandemic happened, everybody got all sad and depressed. Not knowing what race they're going to run and things of that sort. And I started running, I started doing virtual races. So we started doing these virtual races. And the first virtual race we did was like the social distance shuffle. And let me tell you, I had like 4,000 people sign up for that race.
Wow.
And from there, like, I just pivoted the run club from like just regular individuals to, you know what? Like, this is a bigger movement than what I may have thought it was. Like, I thought it was just going to be a bunch of people just getting together. But, you know, when people joined after this virtual race, a lot of people started asking about questions about running and things of that sort. I was already doing run coaching. So I started doing group coaching and things of that sort. And, you know, that from that point on, you know, I started to think about like, what would the mission be for this thing? And, you know, what I came up with was, you know, I want to get 1 million people to start running in the body that they got right now. So like, that's the mission and that's what we're doing. And that's going to keep me driven for, you know, for years to come.
Great. I think the beauty of it all is, I feel like right now, especially as you know, through the pandemic, it's been all this, all the talk about inclusivity, right? And like, what does that mean? And I think for a lot of brands and things of that nature, they focus on race or ethnicity when it comes to that, but they forget pace, abilities, body type, like they forget a whole group of what needs to be added, because there are people like us that are back of the pack that are moving the same distance that the first person that finishes moving, but it just may be at a different time. And that doesn't make us any less of a person, any less of a runner. Like if you out there moving your body, if you run, you running. And I don't know, I consider it your movement, your club, your mission, your purpose, everything that you're doing is, it's just, it's something that I feel like it's a niche that you tapped into that not only allows people to feel welcome, but allows them to feel like they are probably what they've been told that they're not, right? Like the opposite of what they've been told that they're not. So I appreciate it. I'm here for it.
Thank you. So peep this, like I recently found out that in various states that road races are permitted as parades.
What?
Yes. What? In various states, road races are permitted as parades. So for me, you know, I really, when I found that out, I was like, you know, so we're just on a run parade. So if we're on a run parade, like none of this stuff really matters. I already thought like none of this stuff.
Let's get it, right?
I already thought like none of this stuff really matters because, right. You know, my whole motto was if I'm not an elite athlete whose job is to win races, then we're all running a race to get a participation medal that we've already paid for. And then when I found out in certain states that they actually permit these races as parades, I was like, that makes sense. Like we're just a part of parade. Like
yes, we're just parade
after the elite athletes.
Yes. Yes. My now goodness. I know that we definitely want to go back a little bit and get a little bit more detail into you, but something that just popped up since we're talking about racing. I think I found your page, 300 pounds of running. I found your page on Instagram, and I think it came across at a time that maybe you were running a marathon. And I think there was a lot of discussion around the courses being closed and stuff, you know, fuel not being out there, people not cheering, like all the stuff that we know need some work in regards to the running and racing environment. As of today, like if you could have your ideal race with ideal rules, what would it be? Like, what would you change right now? Like if you could give me three top things that you would change right now about the racing environment that would cater to the slow AF run community. And I say that community, meaning you're back of the back people, right? What would it be?
I would have them start at the beginning. I would actually inverse how races are started and seeded, right? Like I said, if they're not elite athletes trying to win championships, everybody else is running a parade. So I would inverse like from fastest to slowest to fastest. And that way you'll have more or less time. It'll be more likely that everybody will finish around the same time versus the other way around. So that's the first thing. You know, the second thing is, you know, thinking about how they dole out water and things of that sort. You know, my thing is, You know, I understand you got to flip the tables and things of that sort, but like, dang, can you not leave us a case of water outside? Like, right. a Gatorade jug or something, mm-hmm. right?
Something. But,
you know, I think that's another one. And then I think the third is like shirt sizes, right? So you run these races and, you know, some of these races stop at an XL. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they are alienating a whole group of people. And then especially when racers are talking about like waste and things of that sort, well, that's completely wasteful when you give me a whole shirt that I'm not going to wear, that I'm just going to throw in the trash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you're really talking about waste, how about getting people the right size so they can actually wear your race shirt and maybe promote it for their friends to potentially join it the next year?
Yeah, that's true. And making them dry, moisture wicking and not these kind of things. Hey, y'all, please. I'm like, when are they going to get rid of that? Because clearly, ain't nobody out here running in no cotton t-shirt.
No.
Now, you were stating that, you know, the slow AF came from the New York Marathon. So the fact that you're running the marathon means that you had already begun your running journey. Mm-hmm. When did the actual running journey start for you?
So my running journey started back in 2012. So back then, I was working at Men's Warehouse. I was slanging those suits, y'all. Like, I was like
suits and hard bottoms. Okay.
Look, I was in suits. I was suited and booted. So I was in, you know, I was in hard bottom dress shoes, working at Men's Warehouse on my feet 8 to 12 hours a day, just really hustling, getting after it, right? And I developed some hip issues, right, just on my feet. And I went to go see this doctor. He was like an orthopedic surgeon, right? So now, I mean, my regular doctor, you know, it was just a doctor that I was like, you know what? I need to go figure out what's going on my hip. I'm going to go find this orthopedic surgeon person and just go there. So met this doctor for the first time. I'm thinking that he's going to figure out like what's going on my hip. And he's like, I know what's wrong with you. Okay, what's wrong? It's like, you're fat. You need to lose weight or you're going to die. So I'm sitting there. I'm 6'3", 360 pounds plus. Looking at this doctor, you know, who's 5-something, you know, 125 soaking wet. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yo, I can crush you the way you're talking to me. So, you know, we go back and forth and he's like, you know, you got a stomach as a pregnant woman. You need to start walking, like all of this stuff. And I was still on like, yo, you calling me fat? Like, who is you? Right. So I was like, screw you. Screw all this walking stuff. Like, I'll run a marathon. And he laughed at me and told me that was the dumbest thing he heard in all his years of practicing medicine. So we was really about to go at it. We was about to come to blows. So I stormed out the doctor's office, and on my way home, I drove past this running shoe store, which I found out was a Fleet Feet, right? So I drove past this Fleet Feet. I went in there, and I was like, I need running shoes. I need them now. And, you know, I'm at the wall, like I'm at a Foot Action and stuff. Like, yo, give me those shoes right there in the size 14. Right. And they're like, nah, that's not how we do stuff here. Like, you ever had a gait analysis before? It's like, what's that?
Right.
Let me see your shoes. So, you know, I'm in there with Jordans on, talking about these are shoes you plan on running in. I was like, yeah. Like, if I can't find them.
Right.
I was like, oh, no. So, you know, I get a gait analysis. They got me with shoes and insoles and things of that sort. And I went home that day and I got on the treadmill and fell off the treadmill like 15, after 15 seconds, yo. Yeah.
Mm. What got you back on the treadmill?
So spite. So let me tell you this treadmill story. So I get home. There's three treadmills in this fitness center. So I get on the middle treadmill because that's the only one that's open. So I'm inconveniently sandwiched between these two dudes. I call them gazelles. They're going like 10 and 9 on the treadmill. Mm. Like, you know, those type of people's like, dunka, dunka, dunka,
dunka.
Like, they battling each other. So it's like, dun, 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 dun. So I'm sizing these dudes up. Never been on the treadmill or haven't been on the treadmill in a very long time. And I'm thinking to myself, like, damn, this dude going 9. This dude going 10. I can at least go 7. Man, 15 seconds later, I fell off the treadmill. And the sound my body made when it hit the ground was deafening. Everybody looking at me. I was mortified, yo. So I get up out of there and I go home and I have this tattoo on my wrist. So I reach to like get the doorknob and I see my tattoo and it's a quote from Frederick Douglass. It says, no struggle, no progress. So like I grabbed the doorknob and I see the tattoo and I just freeze for a second and I'm like, I know what I gotta do. Damn. And I went back out there the next day, ran for 30 seconds, ran a little bit longer, found out about Couch to 5K, started doing that, you know, finished Couch to 5K, pissed off because they talking about run 30 minutes straight, you're gonna run a 5K, me being like, 30 minutes ain't gonna get me to the 5K. And just continue to like run from there. And like, I remember buying like all the running books that I can find just to figure out like how to do this running stuff. Mm-hmm. I even went as far as like trying to hire a coach. Mm-hmm. And no running coach would train me back then. Like dudes was like, you might get hurt. I don't want to be responsible for you getting hurt. I think you need to lose weight first before you start running. So, you know, I went through a lot of that stuff, but that was the journey. That was the first day.
Wow.
Is it correct that it's 8 marathons?
8 marathons.
8 marathons. And probably endless halves, 5Ks, 10Ks, endless numbers.
You know, I stopped counting at 100.
Right. You stopped counting. But I think it sounds like when I hear you tell your story, it's your determination, you knowing that at that moment, it may have been embarrassment, it may have been ego, it may have been whatever you want to call it, but you continue to get up and continue to show up regardless of what other people are expressing to you or that are concerned or that are saying things about you and what you're doing. In 2008, similar to you, like it was hard to find people that, first of all, look like you and I, right? But second of all, like in doing distance running or even running in general, like it's very few and far in between. And then when it came to the coaching standpoint and all that, it was just finding stuff on the internet, trying to teach me how to do things was coming from a skinny white man. And I'm like, bro, I can't empathize with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not what I'm doing right now. And for you to talk to me about a 6-minute mile, it's not happening. You know what I'm saying? So I can't bring myself to even understand the words that are coming out of your mouth because it's not the same. So I think that what you're doing is continuing to open those windows because I feel like when we're trying to work on getting people into the running community, moving their body, whatever pace, whatever it is, it's easier when you have people that you can say, you know what? I look up to Martinez. I look up to Thomas. I look up to India because I know that it can be done because I see them doing it.
Right.
So that is amazing. So what made you start run coaching? Like, when did that start? When did that happen?
You know, I think the thing is like, I couldn't find a coach myself. I had this degree in exercise science. And I was like, you know what? Like, I need to go ahead and get this run coach certification so I can start coaching people. So it just became a thing of like trying to help the next big guy or girl or just whoever who's, you know, trying to get off the couch and provide the information that I found useful was like the big thing for me. So that's what I started to do.
Wow. Yeah. Giving back. That's huge. I mean, there's a lot of us that out here and run, but once you decide to coach, I think that's when you're deciding to give back to the community, just like you just said. You want to provide them with information maybe you didn't have in the beginning to get them going.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think that's the main thing is that the same problems that I was having back in 2012, it's the same problems new runners still have to this day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true. That is definitely true. Yes. Now, is that what prompted you to write the book, or what was it that made you go, okay, I got the app, I do the podcast, I got my, you know, IG. What made you decide, you know what, I want to also have a book that I can put out?
It's a wealth of knowledge. And congratulations to you. I know it's launch week. I got mine right here. Yes. It is a wealth of knowledge. So like I said, what made you want to put this out?
Yeah, you know, after coaching a bunch of people, you know, one of the questions that people always ask me was, hey, Martinez, like, is there a running book that you would recommend that that I can read to, like, help me get up to speed with running? And most of my answer is no. Like, don't waste your money. Like, don't waste your money on the Daniels Formula of Running. Don't waste your running money on Hal Higdon's book. You're a new runner. None of that stuff is going to work for you. Do not waste your money. So, you know, they would say, well, what do you recommend? I'm like, nothing right now. Like, I just got to give you the game. I just got to give you the game. So, you know, I got enough of those people ask me that I was like, you know, I should write a book on this stuff. And then the opportunity just presented itself where, you know, I wrote a friend's book, or not write a friend's book. I wrote a forward for a friend's book. And, you know, I was like, hey, I got this book idea. Do you think you can help me? And she was like, I got something better for you. I can introduce you to an agent that's going to give you the game. Introduce me to that agent. And the rest of it was history.
Wow.
That's what's up. I know that it was long time coming, late nights, early mornings, a lot of moments of probably really trying to figure out what you're trying to put on the paper. But from what I definitely have read in this book, it is amazing. Not only are you giving kind of training, cross-training tips, there's a plan in the book, there's education, like it is a wealth of knowledge. So all of our listeners, go out, get this book, Slow AF Run Club. Definitely grab a copy of the book. I am really excited. I know, Martinez, you're currently traveling and doing your book signings and meet and greets and things of that nature. What have you so far? I know you. This is kind of like your first week of the launch, but I know you have been out in the community already doing your thing. What do you feel like has been like the biggest response that you've gotten so far from the book?
You know what's crazy? So when I got on New York Times, my app damn near crashed because like 4,000 people joined the app when that New York Times article at one time. And I was like, oh my God. So the response has been amazing. You know, all the emails that I've gotten, there's people telling me, hey, I read that first chapter, or hey, I read your story, and like this joint is amazing, and I'm glad that you're putting it out there, because I'm gonna be straight up with you, like nothing against all the other running books, but most running books are boring, especially the technical books. That shit is boring. Exactly. Like I'm not even lying.
It's a lot of like big words, like who knows?
Yeah,
and a lot of formulas. Like, look, I ain't got time to do math. Just tell me how far I need to run.
Right. So
all
like
these acronyms. Like even the simplest things is like PR, tempo, fartlet. Like your average runner don't know what that shit is. Like we don't know what that, people don't know what that, we know what that is. But like other people that are starting and all of that, they don't know what that is. So you reading a book and you got those type of words in it, it's not connecting.
No, it's not. So I think one of the things that just really resonated is how a lot of people are able to draw the connect the dots between the personal story that I'm telling and the actual lessons that comes along with it, right? Because I think that it's one thing to say, it's one thing to like sit all high and mighty and be like, you know, you need to be eating blah, blah, blah at this time. Or like, you need to be eating 30 to 60 minutes after you run and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's one thing to like tell somebody that, but it's another thing to like tell a story of how you failed and like why you really should be doing this. And I think that's one of the things that I've done very well in this book, is share the stories where I failed. That's why they call it cautionary tales, because you know I think of it like Jay-Z. Like Jay did that, so hopefully you don't have to go through that. So that's the same thing with me. Like Martinez did that. Like Martinez got super chafed and had to get in the shower, so hopefully you don't have to go through that.
That part. Let me learn from him, so I don't have to do it.
That's good. I like that. I like that. I'm telling you.
I also think that there's just a language of back of the pack runners that is just different. Like, cause some of these books, they're gonna tell you to carry 3-4 gels, and we done with that in what, the first couple miles? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're really thinking about like how to fuel, how to break down, especially when it comes to distance running, like it's really different. How do you carry all the stuff that we need when you're out there for so many more hours than the average person? You know what I mean? Like, it's just very different. So
I was reading somebody's book and like they said, oh, for 5Ks, like, oh, don't worry about bringing a water bottle. I don't need that. So you'll be all right. And I'm like, shh, who you lying to?
Right.
You stuttering.
What state you running in? Right. You tell me that first.
Yeah.
Please. Yes, you do need a water bottle.
You do. You know, it's funny. So when a lot of times when I do watch your lives, when you come on Instagram Live and when you're talking about different things or even like in your comments, I'm a comment reader because it's quite entertaining. Probably not in the best way that it should be for me. Entertaining for like just the trolls. They're just ridiculous. But I feel like the myth that you continue to debunk or continue to tell people, like, I'm not dieting. I'm not trying to become 100 pounds. I'm not trying to do that. Like, that's not my mission for the work that I'm doing. That's not my mission for running. Like, I'm not running to lose weight. Tell us a little bit about that and, like, how you got into that space, especially after having a doctor telling you to lose weight. Like, what was that? What's that mind frame for you when it comes to that? And I consider it a myth, but something that you always have to continue to tell people. Like, you're straightforward with them about it.
So it took a car accident and me almost not being able to run for the rest of my life for me to get there. So, you know, I'll be straight up. When I first started running, I was all on this intentional weight loss thing. I lost somewhere around 80 to 90 pounds, right? You know, people called me Skinny Bunny. Friends and family was like, yo, I like the Fat Martinez better because at least he wasn't as much of an asshole. So, I'm not going to lie. Skinny Martinez was an asshole. But, you know, after I ran my first marathon, which was Detroit Marathon in 2013, January 2014, I get in this very bad car accident, totaled my car, and I couldn't run for about 7 months. So I gained back to all the weight I've gained, and I was very sad, very depressed. And like, people looked at me like a failure, like, dang, you know, they looked at me like, yo, you lost all this weight. Like, that was the success. That was the pinnacle. Now you gained all this back. Now you're morally inferior. Like, you just morally inferior again. So like, family and friends be like, so when you going to lose that weight again? When you going to lose this weight? And I remember just going to therapy, just sad, like just super sad. And one of the things I remember saying was like, you know, I wasn't 90 pounds happier. Like, yeah, I lost this weight. But like, you know, thinking about these commercials, you know, these commercials that be up at night where it's like you got the fat man and it's like gray and then the person loses weight. It's like all vivid and bright and things of that sort.
Yeah, they like walk into the screen. It's like,
yeah. So imagine that. And I remember like, you know, talking to myself, talking to therapy and be like, you know, like I lost that weight, but like I was still in gray.
Right.
And like the weight loss didn't make me happier. Like, what made me happy was like the fact that I was like running races. I ran this marathon. I was talking to people. Like, that's what I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, you know, if I ever get the opportunity to run again, I'm just going to run for fun. Like, I'm going to run for joy. Like, I'm not going to do this weigh-in Wednesday bullshit. I'm not going to do any of this stuff. Like, I'm just going to run and just enjoy running because like, that's what I enjoy. And lo and behold, like after about 7 months of going through this stuff, like I was able to start running again. And I kept my promise to myself. I was like, I'm out. I'm running races. I'm having fun. I'm talking to people in the back of the pack. And I'm just going to have a ball because I knew what me not running looked like. And it was taken away from me. And I never wanted to be taken away from me again.
I hear you. You know what? Your story, I mean, your story does include running, but that's not your story, man. Your story is what you just said. It's about just falling in love with yourself the way you are. And you, that is really your story. And it's beyond the running's a part of it, but it's beyond running. So yeah. I really appreciate you telling it to us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I definitely think that I think society has this thought that running helps you to lose weight. I'm like, but what people really don't realize when we really run and putting these miles down, marathon training, most of the time you gain weight.
Exactly.
Hungry.
You hungry.
You hungry. There's no way that you can starve yourself and like do these miles and not get injured. You got water weight. You got bloat. You got I'm really hungry, so I'm eating hella calories. Like it's so much stuff that people really don't understand. And I honestly think that not only in the running community, because we do have people that lose hella weight when they're marathon training, but I think they more than likely are not doing it in a healthy way. And I think that that's the thing, is that they may not be doing it in the healthiest way, but we really have to just like really understand you got to fuel your body and how whatever that looks like is definitely what's needed.
And if you run to lose weight, you're probably not going to run for very long. You're gonna lose the enjoyment out of it. Yeah,
too.
you're not gonna run for very long.
I started with running to lose weight. Now it's just my outlet, my social outlet, my connectivity to my community, all of that stuff. Cause child, the weight that I put on and I'm still running these miles, I will forever be a thick runner, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. So, you know, that really is the thing, man, is that one of the notions that I started to take, or like one of the things that I really started to think about was, you know what, like if I'm constantly training, if I have a training schedule, it wouldn't matter how much weight I've lost or gained the previous week. So why does that matter? If I hop on the scale and I gain 4 pounds 1 week, like I'm not going to run more and eat less. Like I'm just still going to run the miles that I'm planning to run.
Right. And if you're not feeling good doing it, I know when I run underfueled, you feel like crap. Like you really feel like crap. You're depleted for the day. Like you do that long run in the morning and you be sleep all day because your body is like trying to catch up. But it's so many things that come along with it. And it's all about the happiness. Like for me, it's about, okay, let's set this goal, whether that be your goal is to get to the finish line, or your goal is to do that mile without stopping, or your goal is to have a good time and find a new friend in the back of the pack. Like whatever your goal is, I think that that's what you have to really focus on.
Big facts.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're going to ask some interesting individual questions. So what's your favorite shoe? What shoe do you run?
Oh man. Well, for the past 2 years, I was signed as an Adidas athlete. So I was kind of pigeonholed to wearing just Adidas brand now, but now that I'm a free agent, I'm exploring a bunch of things. So I have, you know, the Brooks Ghost here. I just picked up the Hoka Clifton 9s. You know, I'm eyeballing the ASIC, what is that? The Cumulus or the Nimbus. I'm eyeballing both of those. So I'm trying about a whole bunch of new shoes. For me, it's like a whole new world.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm sure you're like, whatever works.
And I think that's the beauty, right? Is that now that I'm sort of a free agent, I'm able to like just try different things that I wasn't necessarily able to do when you are like under a exclusive contract and under a brand.
Right. Now, another fun question. What is your typical music that you listen to when you're out on your runs? Or are you a music listener? Some people don't listen to music on their runs. Do you?
I am a big music listener. I listen to, I wouldn't say everything. I'm big into rap. I'm big into hardcore gutter street rap, like Moneybagg Yo. Like,
I was about to say, give me somebody. Okay.
You know, I'm big into like Moneybagg Yo. I'm big up into NBA Youngboy. I'm big into like the younger artists, but also like it goes the other way. So, you know, there's a rap collective out here called Griselda, out of Buffalo, New York. So I listen to them as well. That's like big, like coke rap type stuff. So that's the type of rap that I listen to.
Okay.
That get you hype on the run?
Yeah.
That's not like me. Listen, I tell people like, India, can I get your playlist that you run to?
No,
I always have to give a disclaimer, because the disclaimer really is you cannot judge me for what this is, because mine is a lot of trap twerk music.
Exactly. And
I
don't want to judge
me. So that's how I get down these roads. And I'm from Atlanta, so it's a lot of like.
Exactly.
Now, you are in the, you know, in the midst of your, you know, your book tour. Is that cutting into your runtime? Are you still staying on the street? Because I know things like that sometimes will, you know, you're promoting running, but because you're promoting running, you don't have a chance to run.
Yeah, you know about that. I wanted to do a marathon this year, and I was planning on doing Chicago, but the way this book tour is set up, like. You know, all these fun runs is not going to add up to really time on feet. So right. I think that's the gift and the curse, is that when you know, I have like a 30-day book tour that I'm on. So like there's a bunch of different 5Ks and fun runs, but am I really going to have the energy to really put in the time that I need to marathon train? The answer is no.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That's realistic, and we know how it feels. Well, I know how it feels to do an undertrained
marathon. Yeah, and I'm not about to do that, sure.
No falling out. No falling out.
Yes, we don't need those things. Those things at all.
Now, if you, I mean, I don't know if you got it in front of you, but do you, can you hit us up with what your book tour looks like? Where you're going? What you're going to be doing?
Say less. that's easy. Starting next week, I'm going to be in Charm City Run. Is that, what's that, in Baltimore? Fleet Feet, Rochester, Fleet Feet, Buffalo. Then I'm going to the Run Exchange in Nashville. Then I'm hitting up Missoula Marathon. I ain't never even been to Missoula, but guess who's going to be at the Missoula Marathon? I don't even know what's in Montana. Guess who's going to be there? I'm going to the Missoula Marathon in Montana. I'm going to be at Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm going to be in Glendale, Arizona, Tortoise and Hare. Let me see. What else? Peachtree Road Race.
Okay. There you go.
Yep, I'll be there. Boilermaker Road Race. And then I'm doing this whole thing in Colorado. So I'm going to Boulder, Denver, and Colorado Springs. Okay. Never been to any of those places. San Francisco Marathon, I'll be there. Red Rock Running in Las Vegas. Marathon Sports in Boston. It just goes on and on.
That's what's up.
Boston. I probably wouldn't be in Detroit as well, and Hartford. So a little bit of everywhere. I'm all over the place.
Listen, so you know we're Atlanta based, so we hype about you coming to Atlanta. And I know this isn't. I know you came to Atlanta for the Peachtree. Was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Okay, yeah, and I think I miss connecting with you. I think it was right after COVID or something happened.
Was it last year? It might have been last year.
Was it last year? It was one of the years. I think it was last year. I was like, listen, I've been exposed, and I ain't trying. I felt bad because I wanted to meet you. But do you know your lineup yet for Atlanta?
Not yet. I will be at Peachtree.
Keep us in mind. I don't know if you're connecting with Atlanta Track Club or how you're doing it, but just keep us in mind. We'll definitely want to connect with you. We'll see how that is. Tommy and I are both here in Atlanta, so we'll definitely. We don't typically go without. I know Tommy's pivoting a little bit this year for the Peachtree, but that's a race that we typically run every single year. Like, it's just a race that we know that we're going to always run. So really looking forward to it.
But my only thing is, like, can we run Peachtree when it's not hot as Hades, man?
Honestly, unfortunately, the Peachtree Road Race, they don't show a lot of love to the back of the pack because we start so late, right?
Exactly.
So it's even hotter.
Yeah. It's burning up.
You're starting at 9 o'clock, you know, whatever. Like, it's hot. It is blazing out there. So
yeah, it's rough. Yeah. So I agree with you, but that's the way they like it. Yes. It's hot Atlanta.
Yes. So with your book, is there anything that you really just want people to take away from your book, from reading your book when you were writing it? Are there things that you wanted to say, okay, I want my reader to or listener, because I know you have audio as well, but what do I want my viewers, listeners to take away from this book?
What I really wanted them to take away is that they can do it. They can run in the body that they have right now. Like, there's no excuse to do it. And I want to give you all the ways that you can do it. Like, I want people to take my example of my journey and use that as a platform for them to hold themselves up and start running. So that's the main thing I wanted to take away, as well as do something that's very entertaining. So, in the audio book, you get to hear this buttery baritone voice sing,
Yes, as soon as you got on, Tommy, what you said? You said
Luther Vandross, like, very white voice. Like, exactly. But yes, it is somewhat, and it says in the title, The Ultimate Guide for Anyone Who Wants to Run Slow AF Run Club. It's right there in the title. It's definitely about making sure that anybody that wants to run can run and showing them that they can run.
Absolutely. And I also think, this book is not for everybody. Like, this book isn't for, every runner, right? Like, if you are trying to boss to qualify, things of that sort. Like, my story may not resonate with you, but right. there's so many people who are in the back that people just tend to forget about. And like, we have to fend for ourselves and literally mm-hmm. get it out the mud at times. So, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to be able to share this story and share some of the stuff that I've been through to help normalize some of the things that people might be experiencing. You never, you know, mm-hmm. you wouldn't believe, you know, Celia Front Club have about 15,000 members right now. So you wouldn't believe how many people are like, hey, like, what happens when I don't make the race cutoff? Like, mm-hmm. there's people now that who's like nervous, freaking terrified to sign up for a race because they don't know what's going to happen once mm-hmm. they, you know, if they miss the race cutoff. So right. being able to like normalize, like, yo, I've failed behind the race cutoff at times. It's not the end of the world. Sometimes I get a medal, sometimes I don't. But guess what? You can run another race and be able to get better.
Right. Definitely.
There you go. There you go.
Before you talk about the Slowest AF crew group, you have the app and then you also have a Facebook group. Is that correct? Or is it just the app?
It's just the app. So, okay. you know, our community.
What do they get with being a part of the app?
So you get a dope ass community of 15,000 members who are here to support you, right? So think of it as our own Facebook for slow runners. So one of the things that I noticed for, you know, during the pandemic and like the whole Trump era, when it came to like some of these running clubs, is that it became a dumpster fire, like between politics and everything else, that it wasn't necessarily a safe space for Black and brown runners, as well as like people who are slower, right? So I wanted to really create a safe space that's insular outside of Facebook. And this is why I went this route. The cool thing is that I'm Alpha and Omega, so I don't have to worry about Mark Zuckerberg letting me know what goes on in this group. I make the decisions. So you get that. We also have training plans for sale, right? We have merch for sale. One of the things that we also do is we meet up for races. So, you know, we put out there what races we're going to be at and like try to meet up with that as well. And then mm-hmm. the last thing that we're working on now is like, I just submitted the paperwork for a nonprofit. So we're going to have a nonprofit arm for the Slow Yef Run Club, where we're going to start give individuals the opportunity to launch their own chapter, the Slow Yef Run Club, in their neighborhood. So once we get the official paperwork for that, that's another thing that we'll start rolling. So, you know, now we have this community, you know, 15,000 people, we can get those things going. And, you know, now we have in-person communities as well. And it's all to really just push that mission of getting 1 million people to start running in the body that they have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. That sounds great. The idea for the Slow AF clubs throughout the country, that's great. Because I think you already got 15,000 people on the app. I think a lot of people will resonate to that.
Of course. Yeah, they definitely will. And I mean, I'm with you. Like, I think it's like you mentioned the whole run club thing. I think a lot of times you see flyers and people saying, I'm open for everybody, all paces welcome. But then you get there and it's no one walking. It's no one that's slower than a 10-minute.
They all running sevens.
Yeah. I'm like, that makes no sense. It's not welcoming. Your marketing has everybody speedy with abs. Like, bro, that does not make me want to come out. Like, for real. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's even in some of these big cities, like Atlanta. Yeah. Like, it happens. It's like, it's not really inclusive. You publicize it as it is, but it's really not. So I think that Slow AF Run Club is going to continue to grow from where it is now. And I'm excited to see kind of what's next for you.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely agree. And, you know, I have been following you because I don't know. I used to have another podcast I used to do by myself called Shut Up Tommy. But I remember you coming on the scene almost the same time that I was doing that. And I've kind of watched you, you know, through your things. You have truly grown. I'm sure if you look back at the cat that was slinging suits back in Men's Warehouse and look at where you are now, I'm sure that guy would be real proud of you. So I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you got to catch a flight to hit your book tour, but I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to come and speak with us. I learned a lot about you that I did not know, and I do appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for definitely. Having me. And I'll tell you, keep doing what you're doing. It's people that there's more people out here that love you, that want to continue to be a part of this community and want to get more people into it. So congratulations to you on your book. Congratulations on your app, and early congratulations to everything else that you're going to be doing. And I hope that your book tour continues to be successful and that you continue to enjoy it. And hopefully you have something lined up for the end of your book tour so that you can go relax and chill. It's like soak up all everything that's going on, because I'm sure you got emails flying, things are going all over the place, and you are trying to process all of this love that you are getting for what you have produced and given to our community. So I hope you can figure that out so you can really process all this goodness.
End of the book tour, girl. I got Usher on my calendar already. I'm taking me and my lady to go see Usher in October. Oh, we're going to be seeing roller skating and everything.
Right, where y'all going to see it? And was it in Vegas?
Yeah,
Vegas. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I heard it's a good show. I didn't go to it, but I heard it's so worth it. So you and your lady go enjoy
that. Enjoy that for sure. Hey, now if somebody wants to, you know, connect with you and follow you, how would they do that? How would they get in touch with you? How would they follow you?
Absolutely. So you can find me on social media. Instagram is my primary platform right now, but Facebook and Instagram at 300 pounds and running. That's 300, spell out pounds and running. If you want to know more about the Slow AF Run Club, you can go to slowafrunclub.com, or you can download the app at your favorite iOS or Android shop. Just search Slow AF Run Club. You'll find us there. And then, you know, we'll run Slow AF on Instagram and Facebook.
And how do I buy the books?
Oh, the books are everywhere, right? So go to your favorite local independent store. You can find a book there. You know, we own the big conglomerate store that starts with an A. And then we are... Yes, go to your local bookstore. Find it there. Yes. That'll be the best place to get it.
All right. Thank you very much, sir.
I am excited. The book is out. Go get it, y'all. Go get it.
And thank you again, sir, for taking your time. And hopefully we'll see you when you're in Atlanta.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you, Marcy. It's good to see you.
Yeah, thank you.